Blog Talk Radio.
From Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is Dr. John Stamey welcoming everyone to ScaryCast on the number one paranormalnetwork.com. And we're so glad we got a great show tonight. We, of course, have our best, the best panelists and co-hosts in the world. First of all, the Surgeon General of ScaryCast from the Midlands of South Carolina, the one and only Dr. Trey Dunaway. How are you doing tonight, Dr. Trey?
I'm doing great, John. Other than having to deal with LastPass, that makes my life easier because I don't have to remember passwords for 2 hours on the phone. So my phone is all warmed up. I'm ready to go. They did solve the problem. It wasn't my fault. It just drives me crazy. Technology is our friend. Technology is our friend. Technology is our friend.
That's right. It makes our lives easier, doesn't it, Trey?
Oh, unless you need to be on the phone for 2 hours. But it's okay. The guy was very patient.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, we're glad to have you here. And the queen of ScaryCast, the one and only Robin McCrae. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I am good. Looking forward to tonight's topic.
Oh, I am too. It's going to be a big one. And from Houston, Texas, the one and only Kyler Smith. How are you doing?
Doing amazing as usual. Yeah, I'm excited too.
Well, glad you are. We got a great topic, and just wanted to remind everybody that tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero is on exclusively for right now, ScaryCast. And so just go to ScaryCast. So Facebook.com/ScaryCast, and you can click on the link. It's pinned to the top, and you can hear live Ground Zero starring Clyde Lewis. We're very privileged to be part of the Ground Zero Network and the first internet affiliate of that great show. So please enjoy it. We got a great show tonight. The topic is one of the most, I would say, elusive, but very, very popular topics. It is the story of Betty and Barney Hill. And our guest tonight is Pat McCrae. How are you doing tonight, Pat?
Oh, I'm all right, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. And before we get started, you're our interviewee. Kyler Smith is going to give us the overview of the Betty and Barney Hill story. Are you ready, Kyler?
Yeah, I want to try and not get too many details because I'm excited to hear how he's going to talk about it.
Okay.
Okay, so really quick. So in the 60s, there's a story of one of the very first interracial couples that had a pretty famous paranormal alien abduction mystery. And I think there's a couple names for it. I mean, Hill abduction. I think there's one that's Zeta Reticuli incident, all over the TV back then, newspapers, everything. So it's just a simple couple, Betty and Barney Hill, driving home from taking a long road trip to, I think it was from Montreal, Canada. You know, one of the nights they just decided to take a little bit longer drive than expected. And they were driving through the White Mountains in New Hampshire. And Betty just happened to see something shining above the trees outside her window as they were driving along. And they didn't think too much of it. Barney just thought it was a satellite. They kept going. And, you know, of course, they stopped, tried to take a little bit closer look, see what was going on. They look around, and sure enough, something was up there, and this thing made it very well known that it could see Betty and Barney standing there. So it turns out this large, shining thing in the sky had actually changed direction and started following them. So at this point, they're kind of freaked out. They're a little scared of what might happen and who it is. So they start, you know, speeding down the road, trying to escape this thing. And it comes down, blocks their path off, completely stuck in wherever they are. And dozens of figures and beings surround them. They take them out of the car. They put them somewhere they can't even comprehend where they're at anymore. And next thing you know, 6 weeks later, Betty comes back to the house after being out from a day spending time with Barney, and they see some missing jewelry from this night sitting on their kitchen table. Absolutely mind blown that all this seemed to have been happening to them. And it's every time I read this story and hear about it, I get chills. I don't know if I'm cold or I'm just excited, but yeah, I'm shaking just thinking about it.
It's an amazing story. It really is. And so tonight we've got Pat McCray with us. He is a remote viewer. He is a Bigfoot habituator. And he also is a spirit communicator through MindSpeak. And so Pat, I have found out, has been in touch with Barney Hill. So at this point in ScaryCast, I'm going to turn the broadcast over to you, Pat, to tell us a little bit about your experiences and what you have learned from communicating with Barney Hill.
Well, how it usually goes, not all the time, but I was watching a show about Betty and Barney Hill. And I was watching it, and somebody started talking. And it was Barney Hill. I'm not kidding you. This has taken me by surprise, because I never would have figured something like this in my wildest dreams would ever happen. Really. So I started talking with them, and he's, you know, recently he's told me that basically he's, I guess, supposed to tell me all this stuff about the ETs. So that's, he's told me some stuff. I wrote some stuff down if you guys want to hear it.
Absolutely, we do. Please fill us in. I think this is a legendary and groundbreaking moment in the podcast in the paranormal world, because I don't know that we've ever heard from Barney Hill.
So this was the other day. And I was talking to him, he told me, I wrote all this stuff down. Maybe we could go over it afterwards. But he says, basically, the Dulcie-type bases in the world, he said, he's given me locations. Egypt, Guatemala, France, and Spain. He says all are underground bases like Dulce. The government is in deep into genetic manipulation of human DNA. He says most of all the abduction, related or not related, are related to genetic engineering of the human race. The Egyptian base is in plain sight under the pyramids of Giza. So this is why the Egyptians don't let anybody go deep into the pyramids. I've seen shows on that, and they say, well, they're not going to allow them to go down there. Guatemalan base is deep in the jungles there. France's base is inside CERN, CERN, the collider in France.
Right.
And Spain's base, I don't know if this is true or not, is in a radio telescope built into the ground in Spain. I don't know if there is one there or not. He says the ET races working for the U.S. government on genetic manufacturing are the Greys and the Draco Reptilian. The Greys are the workers for the reptilians. Most important government positions of power are taken over by cloned or shape-shifting Dracos. This is what I got. Monetary policy is geared to advance the genetics and the technology for the Draco.
Okay, now, all right, now I want to stop you just to, Pat, I want to stop you just a second. There's been a lot of talk in the last week about this brand new digital currency that the United States is trying to bring to the world, which is going to basically end currency as we know it. It's like you better grab these things because they're going to be gone. Is that what you're talking about?
No, in general, their policies and stuff like that, that they, their monetary policies. I go into it more. It's just in general the monetary policies of the government.
Okay. Now, are you able to tell us a little bit more about those monetary policies, or is that all they really said?
Well, let me go into further. I'll read some more. Is that okay?
Okay.
The government wants to produce an illusion of power to our government, but there really is no power to the people whatsoever. A lot of people starve. Bases are built on the moon, Mars. Everything is geared to the great illusion or cover-up. Any of the secrets come to the critical light, then invasion is the alternative. You really can't blame the people now for what was done after Roswell. There really is no going back to any sense of normalcy. All changed after 1950 because of Roswell. The Draco have been dominating this planet for thousands of years. The human race is used as a slave race even to this day. What the Draco value most is riches and take over planets that can exploit so they can obtain the riches from the desired planet. The genetic manufacturing is an attempt to prevent humans toward enlightenment, toward singular existence, minus the ever-present and latent presence of the Draco Reptilians.
Okay, so you're saying that's kind of the message that you have been given by Guardian Hill.
What basically I so far I've got from him.
Okay, do you feel like you'll be talking with him a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. I call his name. I say, Barney. He says, I'm here. So.
Okay. Well, now, do you mind telling everybody a little bit about how this is what we call mind speak, correct?
Yeah, it's telepathy, John.
Right. And how did this first appear to you so that you were able to understand what mind speak was? Do you mind sharing that?
Now what? Say that again.
In other words, how did you first learn mind speak and know that you could do this?
Oh, I guess that you can call me a late bloomer, and I didn't really realize this until, gosh, maybe 5-6 years ago, and I'd always have, you know, like I would used to work at UPS, used to come in from lunch out driving, and I would get this weird, it'd be like a tape recorder going, you know, playing in fast forward, a cassette tape in my mind. I would get that, and I had no idea what it was. And now, hindsight, 2020, it's mind speak. And basically, it when you get into something like this, it's basically like it's visual. You can words. Somebody talking to you. I've been doing this for quite some time, and it just keeps developing how I do things. And, for example, the thing with Barney Hill is another development that I didn't think would happen. So it's stuff like that, you know, like I would. Another development would be basically looking at a footprint of a Bigfoot and basically being able to tell if it's a male or female and who it is and kind of see them walking and stuff like that.
Right. So basically you have these episodes where you can talk with, and I call it spirit communication. You have episodes where you can talk to spirits and they give you information. And the information that Barney gave you is what you just relayed to us, which is kind of
fantastic. Relayed to everybody.
Which is the Dracos have been trying to mine our planet since as far as back as we can tell, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, and you say that there are approximately four bases, one in CERN, which I don't know, I kind of thought it was in Switzerland, but it, you know, might part of it underground.
Yeah, that's
might
where
be
CERN is. That's where it is. It's underground. Most of the bases, I mean, I'm just going on what I've heard and red and stuff like that. Most of the bases, they're all underground.
Right. And so we have one at CERN, which is on the border of France mm-hmm. and Switzerland. We have one in Spain, correct?
Yeah.
We have one
Guatemala.
In Guatemala. And the other one is in
Egypt.
In Egypt, right, underneath the pyramids of Giza, where they will not let people go underground so very much.
Oh, yeah, they
so,
just won't let you. It's a sacred site, supposedly.
Right. So that's pretty phenomenal stuff. And what do you think, or what have you been told, is down there in those bases?
Well, it's the same stuff. It's like a Dulce-like base. It's genetic experiment.
Now, what do you mean by Dulce? That's not a term which I'm familiar with.
The Dulce base is in New Mexico, and basically they have the Dulce papers that tells about the Dulce base, and they've had UFO abductees that have wound up at Dulce. They do genetic experiments. This is from reading and stuff like that. That they they basically do experiments on the lower levels, and it's an ET base. It's ET.
Are you talking about that now, Pat? Are you talking about that very deep base that's legendary to be 42 stories deep in the ground? Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, it's in Dulce, New Mexico. If that's the one, I don't know if it's 42 stories, but That's the one I'm telling you about. And there's the ones that are in Egypt, and the other locations are similar to that base.
Okay, so basically the Dulce base would be the fifth base of that type, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Around the world.
So right now you're telling us that there are approximately five bases like the one in Dulce, New Mexico, correct?
Correct.
Okay, great. Well, I'll tell you what. Right now I'd like to ask our panelists. I'm going to start with your lovely wife, who is one of the best friends I've ever had, Robin McCray. Then we're going to ask Dr. Trey Dunaway. Then we're going to ask Kyler. Robin, do you have a question or something you'd like to address with your husband, Pat?
Yeah, I was really, when he first told me, I was amazed. Like, but he does really well with this stuff. Like, he's great at telepathy, and he'll talk, you know, to a lot of different people or beings or whatever, and it makes sense to me what information he was given. It really and truly makes sense to me from the stuff that I've been taught from the cryptids, from different experiences that I had concerning CERN. It aligned with it 110%. So when he told me about it, and he's real accurate with when he gets stuff. Like if he tells me something, I can take it to the bank because his accuracy is really good. But it aligned perfectly with everything that I had been taught from the cryptids and everything I saw when I worked on a astral projection project that I had to do for the Foots with CERN. It measured up absolutely everything that Barney told him is what I've been taught. Plus, he had more information on top of that. So I just thought it was incredible.
All right, well, let me ask you this. When you're talking about the information that he's got, do you know much about the Dulce, New Mexico project or thing that's out there?
Not a lot. The part that really resonated with me is years ago, a friend and myself did some work for the Bigfoot on CERN, and I had to do like an astral projection type thing there. I knew nothing about CERN, never knew what it looked like inside. Everything that I saw in there, and Pat didn't know everything that I saw in there. He just knew it was before I met him that I worked on this, matched up with what they're talking about. Like, it was just uncanny. And the few things that the cryptids have said about Dulce, again, it matches up with all the information that he got. I mean, he had even more information than what I knew, obviously, but it just aligned perfectly. Like, these cryptids and these beings, whether Dulce and CERN is loaded with them, there's tunnels that go all over underground in that thing. It was amazing to me. It was just bizarre. But it aligns up with what Barney's saying. You know, and I firmly believe that that is exactly who we talk to.
Okay, well, that is extremely interesting. Now, Dr. Trey, do you have any questions or comments for Pat?
Only about 10,000.
Okay, you can start with number one.
Let me start off. So you've got something on television, and it's about Betty and Barney. And
did you
didn't reach out to him. He reached out to you.
No.
Is that correct?
Just somebody, I started talking. And, a lot of times I'm being honest. If I don't know who it is, I'm kind of timid. I'm not going to ask who it is. I mean, a lot of times I don't know. I mean,
right.
You know, sometimes I do, but, you know, and I asked and he said it was him.
And he reached out to you.
Yeah.
If you were not watching that.
This is a new thing that started happening. That's what I'm saying, progression and development of telepathy.
Do you think that because you were watching a program about Betty and Barney that put your wavelength on his wavelength? I mean, how?
Hey, Ed, that makes, you know, and the thing is, you know, that makes sense to me because there really is no other alternative to really,
I mean, you weren't thinking
about
Betty and
why
Barney
it
that
happened.
Morning and then, yeah.
Well, no, I just watching the show and, you know, and usually that's how it happens. If you're watching something and then this is how this telepathy, you're at home and then all of a sudden just there's this thought that comes in to your mind and then it's a word or let's say a person comes into your thoughts and, you know, it'll say Joe. And, you know, why did that happen? I mean, is it possible that Joe's trying to communicate with you? I mean, it's a possibility. But in this instance, it was Barney Hill.
Were you able to converse with Betty?
No, I didn't. It was just Barney.
And where did Barney obtain the information that he detailed to you? Was that during his life? Because I looked him up. I looked him up on Wikipedia, and I see that he died, I think it was 1969. So did he acquire this information he shared with you before his death or after his death? That's part one of the question. Part two of the question is, do you think that his encounter with aliens potentiated his ability to communicate with, in mind speak, with you or anyone else for that matter? And what percentage, here's another question, what percentage of people, spirits, first of all, what would you call the disembodied voice of Barney? A ghost? A spirit? A soul? Do you have a preferred word to describe that individual?
Everyone has a soul. When you die, you go into the astral plane. This is what I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into the astral plane. And you've got your family, and your soul is eternal. And your soul that you have in your body can be robbed by ETs. They've got a machine called the resurrection machine, resurrection chamber, and it expels souls, and then it injects souls in the bodies.
So
now,
you would say you were communicating with Barney's soul as a just as a,
yeah,
a generic,
exactly, yeah,
nomenclature. Did he have this ability before he died, or did he develop this because of his interaction with ETs, or did he develop this after death? What do you think?
Well, you want me to ask him?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He says basically,
I mean, if he's
after
not doing
he
something
died,
else.
After he died.
So yeah, there was a reawakening in him post-mortem that gave him insight to how things were operating.
He says you see more after you die. That's what he told me.
And when I read the accounts, they seemed, these folks were not doing this for publicity. I would think an interracial couple in 1961 is not a couple who would want to draw a lot of undue attention to themselves. So, and it sounds like this kind of leaked out in 1965, but it wasn't their intent to have this information leak. It sounded, from the description, these were not publicity hounds. They became a subject of publicity, but it didn't sound like that's what they were striving for to begin with, at least.
So it has the ring of truth to me that how could they make up all this stuff? And it all is cohesive and makes sense. And when you corroborate, and then they went through hypnosis to try to recall things, all that seemed to kind of fall into place. So I think it's really an interesting experience, and how you connected is tremendous.
Well, he just said, he says he's been given charge to tell me about the ET presence in this world.
Mm-hmm. Who gave him that charge, do you think? I mean, was he directed by something, or who gave him permission to speak about that, or does it work like that? Is there a permission hierarchy?
He's not saying anything.
Okay. Well, tell him we certainly appreciate him responding to the questions. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I'll tell you what, Pat. Yes, Pat, please go ahead.
This whole thing, and it really took me by surprise. And it's kind of, I when I first started doing this stuff, I this is way back when, and I used to think I was going crazy. You think you're going crazy with some of this stuff. And this stuff right here, and I've always been kind of timid and maybe a little bit scared to talk to spirits, because there is, like I've talked to my parents and stuff like that, and my dad, and something like this, it's kind of scary in a way, because basically, it's never really happened to me like that before. And it just goes to show that, that you got to kind of be careful who you kind of talk to with telepathy. But I think I have been talking to Barney Hill. I really do.
I remember listening to Robin, and she says you do have to exert caution because there can be tricksters and there can be malignant who can sneak up on you, and they assume someone else to get close to you. What is about this encounter that makes you think it's genuinely Barney?
The feel, how he talks, and I know it's him. Because when you're in this stuff, you get it. I've said this before. You just know that's what's happening, and I do. I'm talking to Barney Hill. I know I am.
Fair enough.
I mean,
wow,
I can't prove
experience.
It to anybody.
Now,
Barney, I can't prove
has
it.
Barney communicated with other people? I mean, I wouldn't think you would be unique. Has he been able to communicate with other people?
He says no.
Really?
He says just me. Yep.
So we are very fortunate in this instance to have you with us tonight, Pat, to explain some of the most amazing things that I've ever heard. And they do line up a lot with some pop culture things that have kind of leaked out. And so I tell you what, first of all, I want to say it's 9:34 p.m. I wanted to thank Transamerica Life Insurance Company for keeping us on the air. Transamerica, the great life insurance company, will make sure that you are prepared when a very unfortunate event will happen in your family. So thanks, Transamerica, and thank you for keeping us on here. And Kyler, do you have a question for Pat?
Yeah, I was actually pretty excited to see, if he was telling you any more
specific details about that night and kind of what really happened that we didn't get to actually see and that might not have been true.
I'm trying to hold on. Says everything that happened, pretty much, you know, what he said in his interviews, that's what happened.
Okay, because I had only seen bits and pieces of it. So I was wondering if it was just the interviewers that were kind of just, you know, given their side of the story to make it sound more exciting, or if that was
videotaped them. I mean, not videotape, but the voice tape. And they did hypnotic regression on him, on him and Betty.
I'm sorry, okay. Pat, can you say that again? Because it was kind of hard to understand.
Well, they hypnotized them, and then they tape recorded them. And
okay.
They did their, they told them what happened and, you know, so forth and so on.
Do we know where those tape recordings are?
I have no idea.
I think it said there were records at the University of New Hampshire, because they were from New Hampshire, and I think that's where at least some of the records are. So I think they would be accessible.
Wow. Thanks, Trey, for that. All right. Well, I tell you what, Pat, tell us a little bit more, and then we'll do another round of questions, and then we're off to Clyde Lewis at 10 p.m., but this is just great. I mean, this is like some of the most groundbreaking research about Betty and Barney Hill. I mean, Betty, because she was his wife, and the fact that you're in contact with Barney, and you've told us so many things. All I got to say is I hope this recording makes it past our podcast. People don't know what happens to some of these recordings, but I do. Anyway, Pat, please tell us a little bit more of the information that you're getting from Barney Hill.
Well, what I got was what? Hold on a second. I got to look up something.
Okay.
He wrote it all down, what Barney had told him.
I wrote it all down.
Well, I tell you what, Robin and Pat McCray, would it be possible? I would love to come by this weekend because I've got to go to Charlotte. I would love to come by and see what you got. Is that possible?
We actually are, believe it or not, we're going to be out of town this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going to be out of town.
Yeah.
So maybe
in a week or two,
I could do that. Okay, great.
Yes. I think, too, and this is just my own opinion, I really think that when anybody, whether it's Betty and Barney or anybody, they do these interviews with the government, there is so much more information that they talk to the government about that never makes it to us. You know what I mean? I mean, they allow, you know, like right now there's been movies out with Benny and Barney, and they basically said the same thing over and over again, not what Pat got, but very little. But I think the reality of it is that there was probably a lot more information that the public will never have access to. You know, I think what Pat got is incredible because that, again, is something the public will never have access to. The government is going to keep a tight cap on what they allow out and what they don't. You know, so when you see it air on, and this is just like you said, an opinion. When you see it air, you see air what they allow you to see. Like when I talked to Travis Walton, he told me the same thing. Because I asked him about it, and he said, you know, the movies and stuff, he said, they put out what they want to put out. He said, they don't put out everything. He said, they put out what the, you know, the government's going to allow it.
Right, and that's something we would expect. Yes, Pat, did you have anything more to add?
Well, I'd like to say that, you know, there's a, you know, something latent, I think, is in charge of the world. I've always believed this, that there's nothing human running the show here on Earth. I really believe that. And if you look at some of the policies that are out these days, and just the absolute, just stringent, you know, you got people, you know, they can only get $20 of food stamps for their income, or, I mean, that's a true story. I had my niece, she can only get $20 of food stamps. And she was working, you know, like a $9 an hour job. I mean, who in is human going to allow something like that? I really honestly believe that, you know, if humans were behind the show, things would be a lot different. I really do.
Okay, well, that is certainly an honorable position, and it makes sense. I mean, because we as humans want humans to do well. Pat, would you agree with that?
Well, of course. I mean, you're going to help each other out, and you see somebody starving, you're going to help them out. But simple fact of the matter is, if you don't care about somebody, I mean, you're not really going to help them, are you? And I really honestly believe that some of the ET races out there they just don't like mankind.
Now, okay, now here's an important question. If they don't like mankind, but yet they're using mankind to mine the earth and bring them everything that they want, is that perhaps the scenario?
Say that again, John.
In other words, they may not like humans, but they want to use humans to mine the earth and bring them everything that they can.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, you can sit here and, you know, we got this debt system and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we're actually a slave to the debt system. I mean, you have got to basically go out and work and make a living and stuff like that. I mean, there's nothing bad about that, but opinion, I mean, you know, money, we could do without money. I guess you can say I'm a Star Trekier, because, I mean, I'm not really going to go into that, but it's just basically somebody holding their hand out and wanting somebody else's money. And that's what I think. Sorry.
No, that's fine, because we see it all the time on the internet, on social media. It's like you start talking to someone and they say, well, I need money. And you just ignore them because,
well, yeah,
you know, that's not – Pardon?
Thing is you got money these days is the most important thing. And, you know, because basically it's in the forefront. It's in every person's mind. I've got to go out and make a living, this and that. I got to pay these bills with the money and stuff like that. And it's almost like, I hate to say it, money is a god to some people. And they worship money. So, and a lot of people love money. So, and it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. That's in the Bible. So,
okay, well,
kind of got a little sidetracked.
No, very well put historically and everything. Dr. Trey, do you have any comments?
I want to get back to the communications between Pat and Barney. Is Barney able to communicate freely with Betty?
Yes.
Has Betty developed? Now Betty died a number of years after Barney. Did Betty get more insights to the abduction and the procedure, whatever went on? And also there was a specific, a star chart. It sounded like a star chart. And through that star chart, they, I'm not sure how this went. I would, if you showed me a star chart in an alien craft, and then I were to look for that star chart in existing scientific materials.
She actually didn't. She drew it from memory, and then somebody later on looked at it and figured it out that it was, I can't remember what star system
where they're from. Has she been
that's where they're from.
Have they been able to determine if that was correct or incorrect based on memory and an interpretation of a drawing?
There is a star system. Yeah, there is.
It is correct.
Now that they're tuned in, are they able to confirm that was the star system, or perhaps it was a different location in the universe that these aliens were from?
Are you asking me if they say
if they've been able to say, yes, that interpretation of what was drawn, yes, that's where it was from, or it wasn't?
Yes, that's the star system.
Okay.
Okay, and now what was the name of that star system? You mentioned it, I believe, earlier, Pat, but do you have the name of that again?
I don't have the name of it. I've heard it before. And Robin, do you have that?
No. Oh, the Zeta Reticuli?
Yeah, that's it, Zeta. Yeah. Zeta Reticuli.
Okay.
And I think it was a teacher that looked at the star chart, and she realized it was in Zeta Reticuli.
Okay, well, that will be interesting to discuss later. It certainly will. All right, Kyler, do you have another question for Pat?
let's see. I was curious about if there were actual procedures and tests being done.
They
I guess not really. Yeah, I had heard that they both had different, you know, they were in both different rooms and had different things going on. I was curious, like, what, all I know or all I seem to know from, like, videos and readings is it was extremely painful, but I don't know if there was anything left inside of them or, I guess,
oh,
taken
like implants
from them. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a sperm sample from Barney, and they I think they took eggs from Betty. This is what he's saying.
That's what they did.
Why in the world? Yeah, my next. Wow, that opens up an entire new. Jesus Christ.
The thing is when you have genetic experiments, you're going to go ahead and you'll use the sperm and the eggs to create a hybrid from a, you know, their ET cross human and a hybrid. It's kind of imperative that you get, you know, the egg and the sperm, because then you've got all the makeups of, you can make that hybrid.
Okay, so do you think it's possible then that this wasn't actually, and I know this was back in the 60s, so our government technology may not have been obviously at that level, but my also second thought in the back of my head is this also our government or secret agencies just trying to fool people and take their stuff for their genetic mutations or whatever they're doing to make people think that it's somebody else?
Oh, like a psyop. Talking about a psyop and go ahead and, you know, do a little bit of mind control and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah, because I know we're very easily manipulated.
Well, I mean, when you get the director of the CIA, is that back in Reagan's time, he went ahead and he says basically he'll know that his disinformation campaign is working when every American believes that what's said is false. I mean, that's like, you know, you go out into the woods there and you take a picture and then you show it to somebody, and immediately what comes to a person's mind, not even anything, is it a hoax? And see, it just worked right there. So they've got everybody believing that everything's a hoax. Now, you want that environment because, you know, if somebody sees a picture of a UFO, well, that's a hoax. So they've got this whole thing going for people to believe that everything is a hoax. They've done a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Wow. That's incredible, Pat. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got 7 minutes left, and I'm going to give your lovely wife, one of the best friends I've ever had, Robin McRae, the final question and the final word on our scary cast tonight. Robin, are you ready?
Sure. I don't know. I mean, I would like to know, as far as from Barney, I have a hard time believing that they remember everything. And I think that's just because, you know, my own experiences, there's always a blackout. I mean, does he feel like he remembers everything that was done with him? Or does he have missing time moments as well?
No, he says yes, he remembers.
Well, maybe you get clarity after he's passed.
This is Dr. John.
He does not
say
remember.
This. But now Barney is in a different state, in a different plane. So he certainly might.
Yeah, so he may get all those memories. I agree.
In reading the reports I read, it sounded like initially there was missing time where they didn't remember. But if they did hypnosis and regressive analysis from that hypnosis, then they probably brought things back to surface so they could be remembered again. But now in a different plane, he might be able to recall everything or learn more about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Archaic records.
Did you say the Akashic records?
Yeah.
Right, where everything is written. Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, Pat, I tell you what. We're about to close down ScaryCast to move over to Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero. Can we have you back within a couple of weeks? Because I think I would like to see what you've got written down, and I would like for us to pursue this Barney Hill thing more. Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, it's fine.
I think this is amazing. We've had one of the most – we've had a conversation that has never been had in this right here on ScaryCast, and I'm glad it has been. So I wanted to say thank you very much, Pat McCray, for being with us. We'll get you back in a couple of weeks, in like around 3 weeks. And Robin McCray, thank you for suggesting that we talk to Pat about Barney Hill. It's been absolutely amazing. Dr. Trey Dunaway, your questions have been wonderful. You there, Dr. Trey?
It was just great opportunity, and it just lends itself to even more questions.
Well, it really does, and we'll have time to do it. And Kyler, thank you very much for your early on synopsis of Betty and Barney Hill and your questions. I mean, they've been great. So I wanted to tell everybody this has been a landmark ScaryCast about Betty and Barney Hill. We cannot thank you enough for being on here. Well, Pat, we'll have you back. As they say in Burke County, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. We'll have you back in a couple of weeks, and we want to explore more about the Betty and Barney Hill incident, one of the landmark UFO abductions of all time, along with Travis Walton. So much. It's been incredible. So I wanted to say thank you very much. We were so glad you're here. And let's see if we can find the British lady. But yeah, there she is. We'll find the British lady. And I would like for everyone to say thank you and goodbye, and tune in to Clyde Lewis on Ground Zero right here on ScaryCast. We'll see everybody next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And by the way, we're going to have Karen Whitfield, who was Batgirl when she toured with Adam West and Burt Ward about 15 years. We're going to have her on here in a couple of weeks. She's a lovely lady. I met her this weekend, so can't say enough. We're going to have great guests on ScaryCast. Talk to everybody soon. Everybody
night.
Say goodbye.
All right.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, Pat.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.